Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. I think this is comforting. Helps me put things in perspective. Nothing can touch your life, my Christian friend, unless it comes through the permissive will of Almighty God, filtered through the hands of God. That means He has complete control, doesn't it? Even when it feels as if Satan has been allowed to run rampant right through your personal life, trapped in Roman confinement, Paul knew that God could rescue him. For all, he had removed Peter's chains, Acts 12:7. But Paul was not simply waiting around for liberation. Even in his chains, he earnestly continued with his kingdom work because he believed God did everything in life for a reason. Do you believe that? Indeed, the Lord has a purpose for whatever He brings into your life. Though we may desperately wish for our circumstances to change, God will allow us to go through a given situation that will ultimately bring about the most favorable result. If we allow Him to finish the work instead of trying to extricate ourselves, you know, we're going to see a positive outcome. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says believers are promised an easy life. It's not a tiptoe through the tulips. In fact, the Word warns that the opposite is true, and we will see lots of trouble, John 16:33. But we, like Paul, can choose to live above our circumstances by realizing that God has a plan. He's going to use our experience for good and the benefit of others. To some of you, I can say, you poor people, more than 250,000 customers in the Southeast were without electricity Sunday afternoon and into today. A person killed when a tree fell on a car in Matthews, North Carolina. Boy, they have been hit. A trucker remains missing after a tractor-trailer ran off U.S. 70 into the Nueces River near Kingston, North Carolina. Virginia State Police have responded to 120 traffic crashes as Sunday night drew near. Authorities telling residents, remain in your home. That's today, as the storm continues to dump paralyzing snow, sleet, and freezing rain across North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Stay put, if you can, says North Carolina Governor Cooper. Wrap a few presents, decorate a tree, watch some football. Okay. On a related note, so you watch the news, the weatherman says a big storm is coming, and everyone panics, grocery store shelves are empty. The preacher said Sunday, Jesus is coming, and no one flinches. Police over the weekend released a picture of a man committing a hate crime against a 20-year-old woman on a Manhattan subway. In the incident, the attacker hit the woman, knocking her to the floor of the car, fracturing her spine. The 20-year-old victim was on the train when the bad guy saw another woman give this gal a peck on the cheek. The attacker assumed that they were lesbians, began to argue with them. The two tried to walk away, but he caught up with them, punched one in the head, and then shouted, "Kiss her again, you blank." Lots of evil in the world today. So the Dems are asking one another, what's the big plan? Here it is. The Dem plan is to bog down President Trump's agenda with all kinds of investigations, and it appears to be taking shape as Democratic Representative Adam Schiff, the prospective new House Intelligence Committee chairman, reveals that lawmakers want to bring back former Trump attorney Michael Cohen for more testimony, trying to figure out some way here to impeach the President of the United States. And another loser? Fired FBI Director James Comey says in an interview Sunday that President Trump is very fortunate that he's a sitting president and cannot be indicted for his alleged ties to legal hush money payments in the Cohen case. But then many say, well, as soon as he is out of office, they're going to send him to jail. Meanwhile, conservative author Jerome Corsi, a target of Robert Mueller's probe, reportedly has sued the special counsel over alleged leaks and illegal surveillance. You mean Comey and the team has actually done something wrong? Isn't this fun? Various new names are emerging now as possible candidates for the next White House chief of staff after, well, this guy would have been good, Vice President Pence's chief staff, Nick Ayers, once considered a leading contender for that job, revealed Sunday that He's leaving the administration altogether, wants to spend more time with the family, and politics is not number one. The Google CEO, Sundar Pichai, is expected to testify today before Congress about alleged censorship of you. That is, if you're conservative and Christian. He's going to say, aw, no way. As French President Emmanuel Macron prepares to address the recent violent protest in his nation on Monday, many are trying to figure out what's really behind all of this unrest. He was the darling just a few weeks ago. Things sure have changed, haven't they? Well, this seems fair. General Motors CEO Mary Barra might be the most unpopular CEO in the United States of America right now, after GM announced it's slashing up to 15,000 jobs and closing, what, 5 plants here. Barra has been shredded from all sides for that decision, including from President Trump. Very disappointed with General Motors and their CEO for closing plants in Ohio, Michigan, and Maryland, said the president. Nothing being closed in Mexico and China. So, 15,000 people will lose their job. How much money does this woman owe? She has a salary of $22 million. Her salary is 295 times higher than the average GM salaried worker, who makes $74,000. And when I come back with more news, I'm going to tell you why, if you have an opinion and want to share it, you do not want to go to Sweden. Right after this. I want to be like Paul. Paul's letter to the Philippians was written during a long and unjust imprisonment. However, this short epistle is full of rejoicing. Paul never complains or casts blame for his situation because he's learned to live above his circumstances. Here's how most people respond to difficulties. First, they try blaming someone else for the problem in order to make themselves feel better. But blaming only results in broken relationships. Next, they complain, which gets pity from others, having a plum party. Poor little old me. But that enhances the problem in their own eyes. And finally, they search for a way out of the situation, and that usually makes things worse. Paul knew there was a strategy for living above one's circumstances rather than merely muddling through them. He shifted his focus. Instead of examining his problem and whining about it, he looked to God. Praise came from his lips. You know, believers have a simple choice in life. We can wallow in the self-pity, and that's easy to do. But we can look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, and learn how to live above those circumstances. So if I lived in Sweden, I'd be the old man, the old pastor, in jail. Yeah, a 65-year-old woman, simply identified as Christina, has been jailed in the last week in Sweden. Her offense? She dared to speak the unspeakable. She said, and I quote, "I'm so scared, I can't do anything. Should I be in prison with criminals? I have rheumatoid arthritis, deep depression, and I will lose my home as I love," she was saying. She was crying, too. Her words were not profane, but rather they were outside the narrow parameters that confine our thoughts. She was convicted of being an influencer on the Internet. Apparently, Christina posted comments that were critical of Islam. In Sweden, some groups you can criticize, some you may not criticize. You may be critical of National Socialists there. You may not be critical of a Muslim. A citizen of Sweden, for example, may risk their freedom for noting that Islamic hate groups killed more than 1,000 innocent people in the month of November, a month which National Socialists killed no one. Allegedly, this old woman, 65 years old, was making critical posts almost every day. Freedom of speech is not available in Sweden. Well, it's awful. It's just horrible. While the world is coping with a growing threat of terrorism and ISIS attempts to spread its fascist tentacles in every direction, it's important to remember that there are plenty of cases of traumatizing terrorism right here in America. Oh, yeah. To be more specific, the American college campus. Don't pretend you don't know about it all. It's called microaggression, and it's happening. Don't act like you don't know that someone's safe space was horribly violated recently. These particular horrible incidents happened at Framingham University, State University in Massachusetts, when not one but two, count them, two separate incidents of students seeing a Confederate flag on a computer screen caused them to be traumatized. Get this, there's such a person as the chief diversity and inclusion officer now at this, and it's growing. Other schools will have it soon. Before you ask, is this really true? It is a real thing, not a joke to poke fun at. How ridiculous the safe space agenda has gotten on the college campus. An actual job that a person can put on their resume. Are we sure this didn't happen in Moronville? Somebody can actually leave their position at the university someday, apply for a better job, and proudly proclaim that I was the chief diversity and inclusion officer at an American university. And here's the real facts. A student reported a bias incident today in which the image of a Confederate flag was displayed on a laptop computer. Many of you may be aware that last month we received a bias incident involving two other students who did the very same thing. Although related in nature, the two incidents involve separate parties. Is this a hint of Sweden? Okay, they're all bozos on that bus. Like father, like daughter, the Sharptons. I wonder if their attorneys are called Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, Incorporated. She's her father's daughter, all right. Dominique Sharpton, daughter of shakedown artist Al Sharpton, scored a big $95,000 settlement from the city over a sprained ankle. Even though she had posted snaps of herself on social media climbing a mountain in ballet, and strutting around in high heels just 7 months after that fall. Took nearly 4 years, but de Blasio's administration lawyers finally, they just threw in the towel. After a thorough evaluation, we determined that settling this case was the best way to, what was in the best interest of the city, actually, said a city law department official. The 32-year-old Brooklyn resident, who is the eldest daughter of the activist and TV host, sued the city in April of 2015 for $5 million for severely injuring her right leg on a cracked pavement crossing Broadway and Broome Street in 2014. I sprained my ankle real bad, she wrote in the Instagram. Her suit said she was in permanent physical pain. But the fall didn't stop her from wearing high heels, climbing a mountain, decorating Christmas trees, and even hiking for 2 hours up a mountain during a girl's getaway in Indonesia. Yeah, it's a shakedown. They say sometimes teaching school can drive you crazy. A California high school teacher was arrested last week after an Instagram video was posted to appear to show her forcibly cutting a student's hair during a class while belting out a horrible rendition of the national anthem. Margaret Geisinger, 52 years old, is a science teacher at the University Preparatory High School in Valencia. In the video, the woman is first seen standing in front of a student, cutting portions of the student's hair off and throwing them behind her. As the student attempts to get up, she says, "You're not done." She then attempted to grab another student's hair, but the student ran away. Other students then started screaming and running out of the classroom. Throughout the clip, the woman is singing the Star Spangled Banner. Students say they don't know what triggered this behavior. She's been acting strange all week, they say. Hey, sounds to me like a typical day in the public school. Oh, no. We wish you a terrible Christmas, or something like that. Give me that candy cane, you little brat. An elementary school principal in Nebraska placed on leave after telling teachers to avoid decorating their classrooms with Christmas-themed ornamentations so as not to offend those who don't celebrate that holiday. The principal at Manchester Elementary School, identified as Jennifer Sinclair, sent out a memo earlier in the week with guidelines as to what is considered appropriate for classroom decorations and assignments. Teachers were reportedly told the generic winter-themed items such as sledding and scars and the Frozen character, Olaf, were acceptable. Decorations that included Santa, Christmas trees, reindeer, green and red colored items, and even candy canes were not acceptable at this elementary school. The candy canes were prohibited because Sinclair deemed them to have religious significance. Historically, the shape is a J for Jesus. The red is the blood of Jesus Christ, and the white is a symbol of his resurrection. This would also include different colored candy canes. Yes. Welcome to the new America. And then there's this from Romanian-born American Jewish writer, professor, and political activist Eli Weissel. Some of my friends ask why I post so much political stuff. Here's my answer. You need to always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Thank you, Eli. The really good news after this. If you just joined us, never heard the program before, this is Hello World. News, information, and comment from a conservative Christian pastor out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have been doing this for decades. God has been so good. We have seen lives changed. We've helped so many families in a number of areas. Our demonic message has gone out in so many different ways, and people have been delivered in the spirit world. We have spoken to churches and youth groups and camps and Christian schools all over America. We're thankful for your support. We thank you for listening to the program, praying for Greg Patton Ministries, supporting us financially, and just overall being there. You can friend us. We would like that very much on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Want to know more about the ministry? Get in touch, gregpatton.com. Get in touch, gregpatton.com. Thanks again. Well, we're going to do it again this weekend. The church, the worship team, going to head to a local nursing home, and they'll be singing Christmas carols and preaching the Word of God, and our whole church turns out, and it's just a lot of fun to be around folks. It's amazing how just a few minutes of time spent with someone can change that person's life for the good, and yours too. Have you seen the painting by Norman Rockwell called Freedom from Want? It's supposed to be the greatest and the most viewed and known of all of them. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're at the family table, Big Bird being placed right in the middle of the table. That painting, Freedom from Want, has been immortalized for depicting a family enjoying a very special time together. Unfortunately, scenes like that in the New America, that famous portrayal, there are exceptions in today's society. Family mealtime consumed by such busy schedules, we eat on the run. Few people gather around a table anymore. Dinnertime conversation frequently gets exchanged for evening sitcoms, and numerous grandmas and grandpas who live in retirement homes or elderly care facilities never make it to that family table. People over 60 are often isolated from the world around them, as vast social and cultural changes have transformed their lives. The world they recall had more neighbors and fewer shopping malls. It had more time and fewer pressures. It had more live-in grandmas and grandpas and fewer assisted living places. They're everywhere now. Unable to find a place in the present, many seniors look over their shoulders to the past. Edith Schaefer, her husband was famous, widow of the Christian apologist Francis Schaefer, on the brink of her 84th birthday, she had a lot to say. According to Edith, there is a link between the contemporary notion of commitment and the displacement of older people. People are not promising something for any enduring length of time. It's just as long as it's convenient for them, she says, citing high divorce rates as evidence. There isn't the determination to make lifetime commitments, and that lack of commitment permeates other aspects of our life as well, business, family, the new church. In a world of shallow promises where families are valued less than the pursuit of personal peace and influence, how can aging men and women avoid living on the fringes of society? I think it's a very sad situation if you're not in touch with every age and every generation, says Edith Schaefer. She speaks as one who is very close to her family, which now includes 60 members. I stay in touch with them all. First of all, I write birthday cards to every single one. A little message on the card. Never mind that they reply or not, I don't care. I write. Even if they don't reply, as you write and you select the card, it gives you entrance into their lives and makes you feel closer to them. Staying in touch with the younger people who will shape our future is essential. You need to make a concerted effort to see your grandchildren. Mrs. Schaefer says, I feel it's very important to travel and spend the money to be there with the kids and to pray for them. She encourages grandparents to pray for each of their grandchildren daily and to keep up, if possible, what's going on in their lives. When physical or financial limitations prevent travel, you can correspond, and a lot of seniors love the internet and should. What a way to communicate. And if there's no extended family, the grandchildren of, say, a co-resident at the assisted living facility can easily be adopted as a pen pal or a prayer partner. I think it's important not to say I'm isolated and nobody cares for me. I talked earlier about the poor little old me parties. How about this? I'm the only great-grandmother they have, and they're not going to learn what it's like to have a great-grandmother if I don't say something or do something, instead of feeling sorry for oneself. She suggests you recognize that it's important for the younger ones to get to know a person of another generation. Well, amen to that. Joining the rest of the family for meals and possibles, another practical way. I think it's important to sit around a table and pray before eating. She uses mealtime as a conversation time, not just an occasion for grabbing something to eat. She suggests reading a newspaper article for interest or a chapter of a book at every meal. A story your family enjoys can make dinner time an affair everyone anticipates. Boy, this seems so out of date, doesn't it? One of God's great blessings is a place at the table for all his children, including those who are unable to join their family here on earth. There's no perfection here, but when Christ comes back, we'll be included in that wonderful company of people who are making it a part of their marriage supper of the Lamb. At the heavenly supper, we're going to be able to talk to Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and whoever we're anxious to see. We'll all be together. Even if there's isolation now, there is togetherness ahead. There's a place set at the table for every one of us. Well, I was thinking over the weekend how easy it is to make your day go a little bit better. I am a big Indiana Hoosiers fan and an Indianapolis Colts fan, and wow, the Hoosiers upset Louisville on Saturday. That was something fun to watch. And then yesterday, one of the hottest teams in football, the Houston Texans, leading their division, which the Colts are in. The Indianapolis Colts go down to the great state of Texas and beat the Houston Texans yesterday afternoon. It was just wonderful. Yeah, for some reason, my Sunday afternoon just went that much better. See what I mean? It's easy sometimes. Hey, what did your preacher talk about yesterday? Did that excite you at all? Was the message so strong you remember it almost verbatim this Monday? And finally, I think my doctor would like to say this. He's really kind, and I think the nurse said that I was a bit overweight the last time I had my physical. It could have gone like this. Doctor says, don't eat anything fatty. I said, you mean like, well, bacon and burgers and stuff like that? And he said, no. No, fatty. Don't eat anything. I wonder how many listening could identify with that. And for a Monday, I've had my say. Hello, world. Comes your way each day at this time. Like us on Facebook. I would love it. Greg, Jerry G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. And go check out the website, gregpatton.com. There, last week, last month, radio programs available. Good. Greg Patton, God bless.